blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hiridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint in religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious and bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy, blessed day. Oh, happy, blessed place. Oh, happy, blessed time. Oh, happy, blessed path. Oh, happy, blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
So just a reminder that Sunday morning groups are recorded and made available to monthly donors. What shall we look at this morning?
Well, I'm finding this third chakra in the evening class very fascinating.
The assignment on the third chakra from the email class.
Right. And the thing in the reading that caught my attention probably the biggest is it's where the battle of will and willingness gets duked out. Mm-hmm. And so this morning, let me back up. There's a part of me that wants to will the breath to get to the second chakra. And when that occurs, it doesn't happen.
So there's a wanting to will the breath to the second chakra?
Right. Okay. And what it does is it gets stuck at the third chakra.
So
it doesn't get past that.
Okay.
When I'm with the breath and willingness, it goes straight through.
So
if I'm in my head or if I'm doing voices or anything like that, what I notice is that the breath stops at the third chakra.
Uh-huh.
And once I let go of the story or whatever it is that is being driven by egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, once that can be dropped, and then the willingness shows up, and the breath goes down to the second chakra.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I just found that just very fascinating.
Very fascinating. So would you say that it sounds like there's a somebody there, an I, who's just really trying hard and willing that breath to go to the second chakra, and it doesn't work, you're finding?
That's right.
And then when there's you can access willingness versus that will, mm-hmm. in that place of just willingness, the breath goes without hesitation.
Easily.
Easily.
Yeah.
Hmm.
interesting recognition this morning that how conditioning can use anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, periodically we're focused in practice on kind of a new approach or a new set of practices, and it's I can see why, because we get, because conditioning sort of takes over, you know, where we are now. So then how do we break through that?
So just needing just needing to have things shook up a little bit now and then, because the, you know, conditioning takes over the practice, and so now having a new set of practices to.
Yes, so I was just on a conversation and I recognized that that, you know, we've done a lot of great work with the Enneagram.
Uh-huh.
And it's been very helpful to me. And what I recognized was that in the course of the conversation that I had not seen was that what happened, first what the Enneagram did was help to provide a framework for looking at sort of different modes of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of where they came from and how they interact and that kind of stuff. And what I recognized was that then I got locked into that's who I am.
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-huh.
So I am a five with eight energy that's sort of trapped by the five.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I hadn't recognized how locked in that had gotten.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So the nice thing about now we're looking at chakras. I'm just thinking this is more looking at chakras. What's helpful to me at the moment, first of all, is that it's fresh. But second of all, that we're just looking at sort of locuses of energy, not types.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so for this brain, that already sort of frees it up a bit, because this brain likes types,
uh-huh.
likes to put things in categories.
Uh-huh.
So just looking at where energy goes and sort of what arises there, and that it can move freely from one to another simply through shifts of attention,
mm-hmm.
is so much more literally sort of liquid and fluid,
uh-huh.
than where I had gotten stuck.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. So just seeing how liquid and fluid it is to be looking at, and you call it locuses of energy,
mm-hmm.
instead of, and just noticing how that just broke through, let's see, something that has become sort of solidified by conditioning about what goes with the enneatypes, that there's that this form is a particular type,
right?
And this is how it is, and then and just really becoming identified with that type, and right. now being able to step into something much more liquid,
mm-hmm.
and that actually applies generally.
And the other thing I realized I'd gotten into was seeing the two types, or the two types of energy through an Enneagram lens, seeing them as essentially being at odds. At odds with each other.
Okay. Oh, uh-huh.
And so, in talking about, I mean, in the course of, 10 days, we've looked at three different locuses of energy and looked at how does that feel and what's the experience of it. And none of them, there hasn't been that experience of one is doing something to the other, you know.
Uh-huh.
One is in some relationship with the other. It's all just these different places.
Uh-huh.
And it has really freed up the experience, and really has created an experience of truly we are just energy.
Uh-huh.
And that's all that's happening, is just energy.
Uh-huh.
And what I recognized in the course of the phone call, or no, not in the course of the phone call, or during the phone call, but afterwards, was that the experience I'm having feels like appreciative inquiry,
uh-huh.
rather than my normal mode, which is definitive inquiry.
So appreciative inquiry, which is another way we've been invited to practice just recently. And so just noticing that the inquiry into chakra seems to support that appreciative inquiry.
It seems to, because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't lead me down the yellow brick road of fastening on things.
Uh-huh.
You know, which is, you know, the definitive inquiry for me is, you know, I got it.
Yeah.
And so this is not lending itself to that, at least currently. And so I just was appreciating that the moment, several pieces of practice were being invited to explore are coming together.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. So just appreciating that all those pieces of practice that we're invited to explore are coming together in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in some information from somebody the other day about they were just experiencing a lot of it. It's like getting that Zen bonk. You know, that's how we get you know, solidified into a certain practice, certain way of being, and then we get that bond that just opens things up, and now just appreciating the fluidity of the practice.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Lakota.
Yeah, really grateful for the bonk. the little tap,
uh-huh.
In the form of the most recent Musings article. Just hugely, uh-huh. hugely helpful,
uh-huh.
and really love that last conversation too. Just seeing so clearly, like, no matter what it is, conditioning can use it to further its agenda of keeping the human being stuck. And it's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's a worthy opponent in that way.
And that's its business,
right?
To keep the human stuck.
And with the content out in the world before practice, it was really good at using that to keep the human stuck. And now with practice, it's obviously quite good at using that to keep the human stuck as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing that's off limits in a way. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that's sacred to it. It'll use whatever. And that's just good to know. And humbling. I remember being a kid and watching my mom, and bless her heart, she worked so hard. She really stuck in conditioned patterns, but recognized that, really wanted to change, and had like every self-help book known to man. I mean, like, an amazing library,
mm-hmm.
and, like, therapy, and all the different practices of the day back then, you know, and, like, just did it all.
Mm-hmm.
And as a kid, watching that, it was funny, you know, because there was this little kid watching, like, this is just weird. I guess what I was projecting as a child was, like, here's a person who basically wants to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
And then, to this kid, it appeared like, but the change is hard and scary.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than make a change, I'm going to do all this other stuff
mm-hmm.
that kind of looks like making a change, but is clearly not.
Mm-hmm.
And that a person can spend a life, an entire life,
mm-hmm.
doing something that looks like making a change, but is actually, it's a smokescreen to cover up the fact that actually I'm not making a change at all. And kids, you know, they're so could be so blunt. I remember telling my mom that when I was like 10 or something. Like, geez, if you want to just do this, why don't you just do that rather than read some book about it? It's like, well, because it's a little more difficult than that, sweetie. I don't know. Like, and now I'm just in this interesting place of finding that balance. Because I notice there is a tendency to slide on one side of the duality or the other. To either on the one side say, gosh, it is so overwhelming, so scary, so difficult, forget it. Or to completely collude with the system that wants to do all this other stuff that's not change, that's not waking up and suffering. Or on the other side, be this kind of Rambo, spiritual warrior that's like, you gotta just, it's all about the change of behavior. You just gotta do it right now and push through. And I guess what I'm seeing today is there's a middle way that it is not enabling the human to stay stuck in any way. So recognizing any way that the system takes over a practice to use that to enable stuckness and to support the human who wants to make a change, knowing that it is really, I mean, it can be, I mean, I know that it's simple and it can even be easy, but experientially it can feel really scary.
Yeah.
really difficult, really challenging, and to acknowledge that, and to be patient and loving, and just find that razor's edge. I'm patient, I'm loving, I'm compassionate, I'm supportive, but I'm not enabling. I'm not letting them slip into not doing the work.
I'd like to back up a bit. It feels to me a lot of what you're speaking to is what's brought up in the Musings article.
Yeah, exactly.
For November.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what you know folks have been referring to this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And as you talk about that place of the duality of, you know, sliding over into giving up or sliding over into being this kind of Rambo type guy that's, you know, just going to push through for the transformation that the heart knows is possible, you know, so there's sliding back and forth, but seeing there's another way with that, and it's what the Musings article is pointing to this month, of the relationship with a mentor who is there to assist us in this transformation, but not a mentor who is just like, you know, okay, honey, it's all right, whatever, you know, you missed your meditation, that's okay.
Right.
Yeah, but to have a relationship with this mentor who can actually assist you with the behavior change necessary.
To
have envisioned possible.
That's exactly it, because it's on the one hand, it's not a contest. It's not I have to do it all right this moment. I have to see to it all today. And I have to do it perfectly.
Yeah.
It's not that.
Yeah.
And it's also not, not all this other stuff that kind of looks like practice, but isn't.
Yeah.
It's not pseudo-zen. It's not that kind of icky, quote, mentoring that is basically spiritual bypassing, which is basically like, here's something difficult that I'd rather not deal with, so let's go.
That's good.
Redirect the focus of the attention before I even looked at this thing that's causing all this harm, and while I'm over here redirecting the focus of the attention, continuing to do this behavior that's leaking out all the energy.
Which is what you spoke to earlier. It's that condition, that system, the egocentric karmic conditioning, that system, you know, using everything for its own ends, you know, to use that to fold it into and to, you know, extract the being from the transformation with that kind of, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of slimy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Get away from me.
Ew.
You know? Yeah.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
I really do want the transformation. And I've done the other stuff enough to know that that's not what I want. And even if the transformation is challenging or painful or difficult, that's what I want. And I want to be supported to do that. I don't want to be supported to not do that.
You want to be supported to have that transformation. It's interesting that from a child, from the time you were a child, you know, being in that environment with someone who obviously was also interested in that transformation.
Yeah.
And so having that, you know, project, what a great teaching in a way.
It really was,
To just see, well, and at 10, notice that didn't work.
Yeah.
You know, but to see that, you know, to see that, you know, I see that, that's one option that's, you know,
That's so great, I mean, thank you, Mom. I'm really grateful for that lesson. Some of the best lessons in life come in the form of what doesn't work.
Yeah.
And here's something that looked like it would work, but doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And gosh, I mean, a person could spend lifetimes doing that kind of thing. So really grateful to have it pointed out clearly then as a child, and then again, now over and over in practice with the guide who just will not let us slide into that crapola.
Yeah.
It just won't.
We can't collect the library of self-help books.
It's not going to happen.
It's not gonna happen.
We can't do anything that looks like that for too long without it being pointed out that we're not doing the practice that will make the difference.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just so grateful for that. Bonk.
Isn't that key? That simple sentence, we're not doing the practice that will make the difference.
Yeah. If I'm not doing that, I want it to be pointed out to me so that I can do that.
Yeah. Thank you.
the phrase in the Musings newsletter that has been coming up for me. I think if I have it right, it was ego engaging ego.
Ego engaging ego.
Yeah, as a pointing to that kind of false mentoring or the false looking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I really see that having happened, you know, and I've been in the process of cleaning out a whole bunch of stuff, including like a stack of journals and notebooks about this high of God knows what I was doing. But when I told somebody that I was doing this, and they said, "And you didn't read them?" And I said, "No, I didn't." But I would glance at them as I would put them in the shredder, and I thought, "That's it." It was ego engaging ego. It was this, I mean, it was, you know, in a way it was a very earnest being trying to fix herself. You know, it's like, well, if I just do this, and a lot of them were practice opportunities, but I could see how they were being used for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if only I do these things, then I will be the person I want to be.
Yeah.
And I just... you know, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. I mean, I was really freeing to shred them all up. But I just, that phrase of ego, engaging ego, you know, that's, I think, a lot of times some of the recordings I don't want to listen to are exactly that. And the reason why I don't want to listen to them is because I can tell they're not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just seeing those examples of ego engaging ego in your life, mm-hmm. both with the recording and with past journals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the time, there was somebody that was sincerely seeking something.
Right.
You know, seeking some transformation. And, and now to go back and look at those things through a different set of eyes,
mm-hmm.
and see, you know, why it possibly wasn't working,
mm-hmm.
at that time.
Yeah. And the other thing that's really been, I've been sitting with lately is just thy will be done,
mm-hmm.
Which ego so hates.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just is not interested in any other's will but its.
Mm-hmm.
But to the being, that idea of just relaxing into, here I am,
mm-hmm.
I'm available for whatever the universe's will is,
mm-hmm.
is so freeing,
mm-hmm.
Reassuring, inviting, all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I can see when ego arises in particular situations and there's resistance to whatever life is, whatever is being offered. So it's just watching that back and forth between ego, who is not interested in any other will,
yeah.
and an actual really desire for living a life that is open to life.
Mm-hmm. So noticing the relaxation that comes behind that, really focusing the attention on thy will.
Mm-hmm.
And you termed it as the universe?
Yeah.
Versus that my will, our ego, who's, you know, has a total, I project, you know, it's like my ego, has just a complete idea of how things are going to go, and, you know, what
I want,
what you want, and how it's going to turn out.
What I'm going to do, what I'm not going to do.
Yeah.
You know, you can't make me.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
And just relaxing to let that go, and just surrender.
Surrender, that's the word. I think I mentioned this book before, but a few weeks ago I read this fascinating book called The Surrender Experiment, where this guy did exactly that. He said, I'm just not going to listen to those voices in my head that tell me what I should and shouldn't do. I'm just going to go with whatever life presents.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he lives this amazing life of, you know, ending up finding himself directing multi-million dollar companies, which then subsequently fell apart, and he just goes with every step, you know, no resistance, just okay, well, this is great, I'll do that. And I mean, I read that book with my eyes popping out of my head. So not what I want to do, and yet it is what the being wants to do.
Yeah, it is what life wants to do. You know, I'm just so reminded of the guide saying to us, "Yes," you know, just yes, yes to all of it.
Right.
You know, and that painful place of sorting through and picking and choosing, and you know, is this going to be the right
yes
or the wrong yes? You know, and to just say yes. Yeah. Thank you. Scott.
Just super grateful for practice. And when we were, the conversations that we were having in the Zen Bomb, for me, the image that came up was sort of like walking around the monastery and like a mirror gets held up, and then you're walking and then another mirror gets hung up, and the mirror up is the practice, you know, is life, and ego's like, you know, I don't want to be seen, simultaneously there's a yes, thank you.
Yeah. Wow. So seeing both of those when that mirror gets held up, the ego going, oh God, you know, and the life and life saying yes.
Yeah, and that's the one practicing who is that yes, and is that process of yes. And so the bond that I was seeing this morning, so we were talking about the musing this month, and there's this kind of three-step process. There's an appreciative inquiry, which I was taking in as expanding the awareness. So before we go do anything else, you know, so bring the attention to gratitude or, you know, what's beautiful or, you know, the sensations in the body. And then in that place, we can kind of see a behavior change. And then, you know, when we fall through the behavior change, then we come to this place of clarity and wisdom. And it's like, oh, I love that kind of thing. You know, I love those steps that we can follow. And what was occurring when I this morning on a practice opportunity was there's still this residue that I'm going to do that when things aren't working. You know, kind of
like something to have in the pocket.
Yeah.
So when,
I'm feeling bad or something's stuck, then I'll go. So it's like, well, then what am I doing otherwise? You know, and I know from my practice when I first came here, I just wanted to feel better. I mean, life stunk, and I just knew there was something else, and I wanted to feel better. And since then, there's been a place of, well, I just practice. It doesn't matter how I feel. Every day I show up and get on the 2-minute recorder with the mentor. If I feel great, that's awesome. If I don't feel great, that's awesome. It doesn't really matter. And it feels like there's still that flavor of doing prac. You know, it's like the attention is more motivated when something's not working.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. I feel like catching something really subtle there that, you know, that how that just... It just goes back to what you're talking about, how it all gets folded in.
Yes.
Without, if you're not paying attention.
Exactly.
And so there's that great, you know, three-step practice. I don't know what I want to call it, program, but you know, just and that just seeing that it get kind of starts to get filed, like, oh, that's a good thing. Next time I'm in a hard time, you know, I'm sure I'm going to remember that.
Yeah.
You know, and then look at like. Yeah, if I'm not doing that now, you know, what's going on now?
Yeah, it's really fun. I don't know if I said it or heard somebody say it or what, but it just occurred, like, we actually don't ever have to leave presence.
Yeah.
You know, but there seems to be something in practice for me where it's like, you know, oh, then once I leave presence, then I can come back and do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, wow, that's interesting. There's just an assumption that I'm not... I mean, it is likely based on eons of conditioning in this human life that I'll be largely unconscious. But just that assumption that that's true, and that it's there's an assumption that it's not possible just to stay here.
Yeah.
And so you've got to do these things to get here.
Mm-hmm.
And I just that just saying that out loud feels like a maintenance of something, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Just this image of, you know, that thing, we've got to work hard. you know, that it's something that one has to just try and strive for, and you know, it may happen, you know, but intermittently or something,
yeah.
You know, to just see how that's just running there.
Yeah.
Under.
And I just wonder, you know, we could go through that process of, you know, reach of inquiry and behavior change and clarity all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I just applied that to shopping because
yeah.
I missed several items. And it was such a fun process to be in.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't know if it came out any better, but it felt better to the human.
Yeah.
And it kind of felt like, well, even if I, quote, got all the items and did everything right, it would still be fun to do that. Because again, you're bringing yourself to that appreciative inquiry, to that place of expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can always, I mean, it's fun to change behaviors, even if things are going great.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that just, I mean, to me, that is the process of staying here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is just, because the behaviors are just so habitual for me, I don't even know what I'm doing, probably 98% of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is the process of staying here,
mm-hmm.
as you said.
Yeah.
And just, you know, why not? Why not live in appreciative inquiry?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just moment by moment. And the presence that it requires to do that.
Yeah.
Is the, you know, as we were talking earlier, the transformation.
Yeah. And then the question is, how do we support the person in staying in that process of appreciative inquiry?
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, I wasn't in it then, or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Just like, okay, that's what he wants to do. Let's give him everything he needs to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, wow, you know, what a fun way to live.
Yeah, really. And that's the kind of mentor that we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
this
is what we're going to, you know,
yeah.
this is how we're working with this one.
Mm.
And I'm going to, you know, that mentor's there and going to stand by you and we're going to do this together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Jen.
Hello. You said Jen?
I said, we end with an E, and then I'll come back.
reverse alphabetical. That's everything's so great this morning. I've really been looking at training, and the energy, the focus on energy feels like it's helping so much, especially with what I've been hearing in some of the conversations this morning, in the sense of, I was remembering this morning we had a conversation, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago about that idea of the things that it's easy to do, but it's also easy not to do them.
Mm-hmm.
So there are the things we all know that really support us with thing of practice. And, I mean, just as things in themselves, they're quite easy to do, but that makes them just as easy not to do. And that what I've really been looking at, I've been having a period of time where it feels like, you know, just one of those times of grace where it feels like practice just really pays off.
Mm-hmm.
And living in a ton of well-being with a lot of energy and just, wow, you know, just, in gratitude and all of that. And watching how it's almost like because of the way the conditioned program is there, it becomes very easy not to practice when it's so easy to practice.
Uh-huh.
So in the sense of, I was looking at it too from, I'm exercising some new muscles recently.
Literally. Okay.
Yeah, doing some core strengthening and really loving that process and loving how applicable it is to the process of training and practice.
Mm-hmm.
And as that gets stronger, there's less, it's so interesting to try to describe it, but there's less resistance to go up against, so it becomes easier to do it. Like, so the muscles are stronger, right? So at first it's like, ooh, I can barely do this at all. And so in a way, there's a very easy, quick benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Because with only a small amount of effort, those muscles are really getting worked, you know? So then as the muscles get stronger and there's less natural resistance, I'm not talking about like ego resistance, but just, right? So then it's almost like, it's good now, you know?
Yeah.
And there's less immediate in my face, obvious benefit to doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And And so then there can be kind of this, it feels like that thing of humans have an infinite ability to take things for granted.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, oh, I'm good now.
Yeah.
You know?
It's that, oh boy, it's that place. It's so easy to slide.
Yeah.
You know? Just, wow, great parallels to
isn't it? Yeah. And so there's that piece of it, and then there's the taking it personally on both sides of it. Mm. So when I'm not feeling great, that's my fault. And when I am feeling great, I'm doing great, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so it feels like what energy, the focus on energy allows, is to really not take it personally. Uh-huh. And just to simply stay in the commitment of doing the things over and over and over and over and over again.
Boy, and as you say that, what I'm reminded of is that it's the difference between turning all the time to check with conditioning.
Yeah, exactly.
How I'm doing.
Exactly.
Versus
how's
just,
going?
Yeah, how's it going? How's it going? You know? Oh, yeah, you're doing good. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we're doing bad. You better pick up the pace here, you know, and how that just like ping-pongs back and forth. But to you know, to stay with the energy.
Yeah.
And
that's
it.
That's it. And do the thing.
And do the thing.
Do the thing. I mean, that feels like the huge behavior change is just keep doing it, no matter what. You know, it's like Sherry will talk about sometimes. I've heard her talk about the tennis analogy, you know, and I'm out there to play tennis.
Yeah.
And it's raining, pouring rain and freezing cold. I'm playing tennis.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful sunny day. I'm out there playing tennis. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm doing great. I'm playing tennis. Mm-hmm. I'm really not doing great. I'm playing tennis.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Just no matter what.
No matter what. You know, the other image that came up is that the image of, you know, some people do spiritual practice and they dig a shallow hole.
Exactly.
And they here and there and everywhere. You know, and going to different practices and, you know, searching around. And it's just that, just find a hole and dig it.
Just keep
going. And just keep going, you know.
Yeah.
Just keep with that. I mean, and as you say that, and I don't know, it's a place of inquiry, but, you know, I would suspect that if we just picked
exactly
one thing.
Exactly.
And stuck with it.
Exactly.
You know, rain, sun, storm.
Truly. And
us.
Process is the outcome.
The process. Yeah.
Right? And it's so to have learned, to have been taught the ability to train to do that, to stick with it.
Yeah.
It's so huge. And what I've really been seeing is it's hugely joy producing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the danger place.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's as that happens, because every piece of that process builds on itself. So there we are, we're, you know, doing the practice. And then, wow, it starts to really pay off. And then there's the campaign to stop doing it or to go unconscious or to whatever. And we keep doing it. And then there's the joy that produces. Wow. The ability to just keep doing it, even though I'm being tough. And then there's continuing to go. And then there's, you know, hitting that, whatever, the dry spell, where it feels like, well, what's all that good? Where's all that good feeling? I like that good feeling, but just keep going anyway. And then there's the joy that produces. And as that happens, the campaign to leave the process is enormous. And you know, if conditioning has to do it, then it will get on the bandwagon of this is awesome. Wow. Practice is really working. Isn't this great? You are doing great. And that's the place of the laser focus.
Wow.
You know, and that's what I feel like the energy is so supportive for. It's just to practice in the energy.
Yeah.
You know?
Just that place of laser focus
as
it throws everything that can possibly throw at us from you know. You've reached, you know, nirvana,
right.
To you know, you loser. It doesn't matter,
right? You know? And we know those are right next to each other.
They're right next to each other.
So as soon as you take the bait of you reach nirvana, you are sunk.
You are a loser.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And the best part is that should that happen, that's not too big for that awareness. I mean, you know, it's not. I mean, the awareness absolutely can hold all of those shenanigans.
Wow, it can hold it all and not take none of it personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever it is.
It really seems like that a huge piece of it is expanding the container.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and getting at that, I mean, it's like I saw it, this is so revealing. I had a cup of tea the other day and I was just really there for it and I so enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like this sense of, I could have that cup of tea every day.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I can try it. And it was like, well, but then how can that be? It's almost like it wants me to only really like things that are hard to get.
Yeah.
Or you can only have them once in a blue moon.
Yeah.
Or you have to work really, really hard. But like that tea, anytime I want.
Yeah.
I can go into the kitchen, get the tea bag, get the hot water. Like, it's all available all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like we have to train that life is that good.
Yeah.
All
yeah,
the time.
Because we've been trained in the opposite.
Because we've been trained in the opposite.
And as that's just practicing the process of pleasure, and it happens to be that, you know, beautiful cup of tea.
Yeah.
And we bought, I can relate to that thing of buying that pleasure and enjoyment that are attached to some big deal.
Some big deal.
Some big deal.
That's really, you can have it, but it's really rare.
Yeah.
Only when all the stars align
right.
And blah, blah, blah.
And only after you've finished all your work.
Right.
That's great. Thank you. Scott, would you turn the light on? That's actually right.
Thanks.
So, Jan.
Well, there was so much in that. What I was looking at was the appreciative inquiry, and how, in being here, that as I've relaxed with being here, that applied to the practice principles.
Mm-hmm.
And not really, I understood the idea, but sort of really starting to appreciate the practice principles.
Uh-huh.
And looking at, gosh, this is informative for life. This
uh-huh.
can be applied
uh-huh.
this can be applied other places, not uh-huh. just in the monastery. And just appreciation of that. Yeah.
So seeing how the practice principles are not something that's just applicable to the monastery, but how they apply to just life
in general. And it, like so many things, it seemed at first like it was just an idea, a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I've experienced how they apply, go through that experience, there's this deep appreciation for the looking, for the awareness, for the care that's been taken in establishing those for this place, for life here, and just huge appreciation for that, and wanting this life to continue to have that wherever, whatever location.
So bringing that appreciative inquiry into the practice principles. And just really, really, really appreciating the gift that they have to contribute to a being's life.
Yeah, and it's interesting to experience that now because I can see even more clearly how much resistance there was from egocentric karma conditioning, self-hate, to that without even realizing it at first.
Uh-huh.
But now saying, oh, okay, that's why it was so hard to see at the beginning. Because if I was working through, or I hadn't seen the resistance to let that go.
Uh-huh.
I'm not even sure how to say it, but anyway, just really grateful. And just the care that is just, it's hard to describe the appreciation for the kind of care that goes into life here and this place. And what a privilege it is. Well, this emotion's coming up. What a privilege it is to be able to come here and experience that, and that it's available for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just about anyone. Not egocentric. Okay, but that's, yeah.
Which we don't get.
Yeah.
kill the dignity of making it into a one.
I was trying to think, how do I say that?
So, I'm just feeling that maybe one of the benefits of practice is coming to this place of just deep appreciation for what is offered and being able to receive it.
Yeah.
And being able to be in that place of appreciation.
Yeah, tremendous appreciation. And as you said that, what I went to is it's like a respite. I mean, a true respite mm-hmm. from the world mm-hmm. to be able to really look mm-hmm. And just that everything is set up to be able to see as much as possible, no matter how much resistance there is.
Yeah.
Because everything is set up to help us see that and to transcend it
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to practice transcending that. Mm-hmm. So every, what was the word, bonk? Every bonk is appreciated. And there have been a lot because with musings, with the email class, it just goes on, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Huge appreciation.
Yeah. And just an appreciation for the being that is practicing like this. I mean, I can't help but mention, I mean, the number of folks that come here on a first retreat and just like, you know, are not in that level of appreciation, you know, that it takes practice
Well, it does. Yeah, it does. And there's appreciation for that willingness over the years mm-hmm. to do that
mm-hmm.
and for the support that's made help make that possible.
Mm-hmm.
So all the way around, full circle.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Rebecca.
Well, all these conversations is making me, especially that last one, is making me bring up this story of when I was, when my kids were kind of younger and I had just come back from a retreat. I used to do retreats regularly, and I was kind of in that zen, peaceful, calm. We had to go to the grocery store, and everybody wanted to go. You know, so all three kids. And I was walking down, the aisles, and all the kids doing their thing, and trying to stay in this sort of zen, calm. And finally, they were doing all their stuff, and finally something in me snapped, and it was like, Jane, get off the basket, put those Lucky Charms back, and then and I just threw it back into. And my 14-year-old at the time said, there's the mom. And it was just that. And just like so much about this all these conversations is making me think how I could have gone to feeling bad and, oh, I'm not the right Zen student, I'm not the right mom, I'm not the right anything. But what, at least from this perspective, what I'm just seeing is just this long view, right? The long view of all of these years of practice and the sticking with it, as you and Jen were just talking about, and as was talked about earlier, the patience it just unfolds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just unfolds. And as the guy was saying earlier, I don't know, maybe it was a long time ago because I've been listening to Pat's a lot old recordings, so I don't know real when this was, but the sentence was, we're not in control of any of it. We don't control any of it. You know? What happens, what is happening is our practice. We never know where our practice mm-hmm. is. We never know where anyone else is. And I don't know, I think that appreciative inquiry process helps just see that bigger view, you know, that, because there are plenty of times when I can really, I could go to, I'm not where I am, should I be where I should be in practice, I'm not, da 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 da, but I can just kind of take that long view through that process and go, just that a deep appreciation mm-hmm. for the practice and all the support over the years for the practitioner, mm-hmm. for that young mom and for the older mom and for the, you know, every
and for the not, you know, the part that's not a mom at all, who just is practicing, you know, and everything that's informed this life. It's just, you know, it's just so big. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why I keep saying the long view. It's like it's just so big, and ego would just sort of shrink it down to, well, did you remember to floss your teeth? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like mm-hmm. it's just, you know, it's just so much more than that. Mm-hmm. You know?
And it's reminding me of the first conversation this morning of will and willingness.
Yeah.
You know, just that willingness to practice with appreciation, to practice with patience, and you know, and that just expanding the container.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
And it just feels incredibly kind.
Yeah.
To do that, and yeah. you know, to have that, and to surround this being, this human, with patience.
Yeah.
Because you know, as you said. Who's going to make the my words are failing me this morning, but who's going to be the one that's going to be deciding that, you know,
assessor.
That the assessor, where that person is,
yeah.
and how they're doing, you know, we know who that is.
Yes. Exactly. You know, I'm glad, because I'm on, just to overlay another practice I'm on day 8 of the Making a Change for Good, mm-hmm. which is the day to look at the judge, mm-hmm. you know, and see how the, you know, what that judge looks like and all that. And it is, what I'm seeing this morning is it is that process of all three of those practices, the ABCs, the appreciative inquiry, the behavior change, and the clarity over comfort, that sets the context. You know, it mm-hmm. allows us to move into that expanded mm-hmm. container, expanded mm-hmm. awareness, where the judge just is so obviously inappropriate.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like sticks out like a sore thumb. Because it's like, what?
Ooh.
Yeah. You don't belong here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Anything that criticizing and dividing and separating, there's just no place for it in that appreciative inquiry or in that larger conscious compassion awareness.
Yeah.
That it's obvious that it is not part of that.
Yeah, and what else is coming up right now as we're talking is I'm really appreciating looking at the past. You know, in those ways, like that story that just arose that I just told, and different things like that. Another thing I heard on the recent recording, group recording in Sherry's voice was, if we're not present, we don't have a past, of course. You know, mm-hmm. but in the present, we have a past. Mm-hmm. And so to see, that's another thing that's helpful in taking that long view, that larger picture, is that when I'm here, let's see how I'm trying to say it. When I'm here, I can see with such compassion and, you know, some clarity, whatever amount of clarity happens to be from this perspective anyway. Just this person's life. I mean, I can't really see what everyone else would. I can't, of course, project. But it's I guess what I'm saying is that it's a path to that unconditional love for this person.
Mm-hmm. You know, would you say that it's like again, we're going, you know, that larger container, that larger view, holding all the experiences of this being.
Yeah.
And not living in them, you know, not going back there and, you know, and wallowing around in them or, you know, projecting into the future, but just having that all contained and held as just part of a life.
Yeah, part of appreciation for a life, mm-hmm. appreciative looking at all of that. Because you're right, it can be a real slippery slope to your living, and that's not at all the experience I'm talking about. Oh, that's misery. I've done that a million times. But it's not being in the past, it's viewing it all
just
as
holding
alive,
it all,
holding
yeah.
it all,
yeah. being have or having it all held.
Yeah, you know, and in that way, it's sort of like a delivery of love, a delivery of unconditional love in that way, because mm-hmm. I can, you know, as opposed to the delivery of the judgment,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
So there can be a, ooh, you really shouldn't have done or whatever, you mm-hmm. could have handled that or whatever, it's mm-hmm. not, you know, but it's that, I guess it's just simply that bigger bird's eye view in mm-hmm. compassion. And that's what it, you
yeah.
know.
What arises is that, you know, I've heard the guides say often is that there'll come a time when there's not one part of our lives that we won't say thank you
yeah.
for everything that brought us to this place.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what you're describing.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Just wow. Yeah.
Okay. A story dropped in as she was sharing. I was on a retreat, maybe like 8 years ago, it was a while ago, and this woman shared this story that as a child, she had all this love that she wanted to give. And as she grew up, she started to see that, you know, she had this heart that was like an 800 horsepower engine, just like ready to give, give, give. And she felt like she was surrounded by people that had like a 2 horsepower and she spoke of the loneliness that she felt, you know, that she was leaving people in the dust with like her love, and it wasn't reciprocated. And you know, I identified so much with that story that she shared at the time, because I felt that way too. And I remember my parents describing, you know, of all our children, Karina, we worry about you the most because of the love that you gave and that it wouldn't be reciprocated in this life. Mm-hmm. And I just have so much gratitude today, mm-hmm. because I feel like that presence, that love is here, you know, that the Sangha helps me to know that we all want that,
mm-hmm.
that we all have that horsepower. And just hearing so many of the stories today just really brought that story to my heart again, and, you know, just holding that cup of tea. And, you know, every day we have that opportunity to have so much gratitude and so much love for this life and mm-hmm. that simple cup of tea, you know. And for me, for this person, to just embrace that, you know? And if it's a lonely existence, and if people don't have that same horsepower, that's okay. Because ultimately, you know, it's me and the unconditional love that I have for this person. And that it's nice to be able to come here and to know that there are others that want that too, and that are practicing to be able to have that unconditional love for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So just really appreciating the gifts of Sangha this morning,
mm-hmm.
and recognizing that presence of that unconditional love and that and the support to live in that.
Mm-hmm.
And what one might say, maybe that's even who we authentically are.
Mm-hmm.
And to just see that expressed this morning,
mm-hmm.
and having it resonate and just being touched by that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And just being so honored here, you know, and so encouraged and so supported.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, it's going back to what Jan was saying earlier, just, you know, really realizing the incredible gift of the practice and all of the principles and everything that the environment that supports the practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you all.